Well, hey, Tara, here we are. It's Prevention on Point, and we are in our fourth episode.
It's very exciting. Very exciting, and another new month. This is a really special month to me personally and professionally. It's the month of May. And May, personally, is the month I became a mother.
Oh, whoa.
Yep. So my twins will be 24 this month. It's also my birth month. And then professionally, it's Mental Health Awareness Month. And embedded within Mental Health Awareness Month is Prevention Week. So it's a busy month.
Wow. 24. And so, okay, so their brains aren't even fully formed yet still.
This is true.
This is one thing we talk about a lot on the show.
This is true.
How long it takes for one's brain to fully develop. Well, we wanted to talk about mental health awareness for Mental Health Awareness Month. And where do we even begin?
Well, I think something is, you know, we have been talking about awareness almost every program so far, right? And this is just really keying in onto one topic. Well, and two in my mind, because National Prevention Week is, you know, for education and information on substance use prevention. And the reason why is because that is so tied to our mental health. And then this entire month, we do get to reflect on mental health awareness. So if you see anybody, or if you choose to wear a green ribbon this month, that is what is recognized by SAMHSA, which is a national program. And we have been handing out green ribbons at schools, and we in the prevention department have created a mental health awareness calendar for the month of May. Just things to maybe stop for 5 seconds or 10 minutes or maybe a half an hour to take care of you each day, whether it's going for a walk or calling a friend or reading a book. These may be things that you already do, but really putting this in that forefront, sort of the same way we talked about alcohol awareness last month. That same idea, mental health awareness, your mental health awareness for yourself and others around you, and even just mental health in general.
One of the principles of self-care that has resonated with me, Tara, is that there's all this science and research that proves that you actually have to take care of yourself to help others. You know, as someone who's a careaholic, and I think you are, a lot of us in human services, we think it's so virtuous to suffer and care for others, right?
100%.
And it gave me a lot of pause, and has really stayed with me, this idea that before you can help others, you actually have to help yourself.
Yeah. And even with that, and it's not saying that you can't help other people, but you do have to take that time to take care of yourself, because sometimes we can reflect our own personal feelings or maybe what's going on in our own lives onto people that we're working with, you know, right? People in the human services field are givers. You want to work with humans, I would hope, obviously, saying human services. But it's again, May is that time to just sit back and reflect. And what a lovely month to pick. You know, everything is renewing itself.
Renewing is a great word for it. The trees, they're in this, my favorite time of year for the trees, except for October, where you can see the branches, but you also see a lot of color starting to come up.
Yeah. And the flowers and just the smells, you know, it really is a time of renewal. And that's why I appreciate that they have chosen the month of May, you know, that it's spring and it's time to maybe look at yourself in a different way as well.
Yeah. I heard something from someone who works at Columbia County Mental Health, Eric Swift, recently. He was a guest in one of our support groups, and he talked about self-care as an art. People have all these different ideas and stereotypes about what self-care is. I think a lot of people think of it as like, oh, well, this is when I have to spend a bunch of money and go to the spa on myself or something. It's this, you know, monumental thing. And that really helped me reorganize my and inspired me to have my very own idea about what self-care is. That it can be an art. It can be something that I prescribe myself based on my own needs. And
it's so simple. I love that it is an art form in a sense, because you have to continue to take care of it, right? You have to continue to nurture it.
Yeah, nurture.
And even the simplest things, if it's, you know, not bringing your work phone home, or is it going for a walk at lunch? Just simple things to take care of yourself. And I think what's so important, and something that I really want everybody to realize, and I think that's why Substance Use Prevention Week is embedded in Mental Health Awareness Month, is because your mental health affects every part of your being. You know, sometimes when we say mental health, people just think that it is the psychological part of yourself. You know, as research has gone forward and studies have been found, how our mental health, our psychological health, can affect our biological health.
Very physical, concrete things, systems in our body, right?
Yeah. And it can age us and hurt us and put us in just as much harm as other things do biologically. And I think that's what's so important, is that your mental health ebbs and flows throughout your lifetime. And there may be times that your mental health is fine, and maybe your mental health has been fine up through adulthood or middle adulthood, and then something happens and a trauma occurs, and that's okay. You know, it's just like our biological bodies as well. You know, sometimes we're healthy, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we break a bone, you know. You have to take care of the situation that's at hand at that moment. And just having that awareness, if you are feeling sad, if you are feeling more tired, if you're noticing things going on maybe with your body, it might be stored emotions or stored things that you haven't been able to communicate, and your mental health therefore is then affecting your human body as well.
There are things that are inside that need to come out somehow, maybe, or be addressed, or at least thought about.
Yeah.
In my work involving families and loved ones and significant others dealing with people with mental illness and substance use disorder, we talk a lot about the willingness. It's essential to be willing to sit with your pain and sit with some of the struggle, and at least just to be aware of the pain and realize that pain has real purpose and real meaning.
Yeah.
And if you don't sit with it, or at least have some awareness of the pain, what happens then?
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point to make, because when we think about, if you want to use that word pain, like psychological pain or traumas, you know, I don't think of it any differently than you touch a stove and you burn yourself. That's pain. You learn a lesson. And psychological pain is the same thing.
It's an object lesson.
It's a lesson.
Yeah.
And sometimes that lesson might take a few times touching the stove, and sometimes it doesn't. When we continue to touch the stove, that's when, you know, we really do need to reach out for help. And there's so many options available. I know I keep saying the 988 number, which is so important, that if you're in crisis or you need somebody to talk to, that you can call or text 988. Locally here in Columbia and Greene County, we have our mobile crisis assessment team, which is 943-5555. Again, they're available.
Also known as MCAT, right?
MCAT, yep, that's
correct. Which stands for Mobile Crisis Assessment Team.
Correct. Yeah, great human beings out there doing great work when people are in their crisis. And that crisis is determined by you. We can't determine your crisis, right?
Good point.
You can determine what a crisis is to you.
What are some other immediate resources that we refer people to that are accessible and free within the two counties?
I think what's so important is that there's people everywhere. You know, and some of the words that when I choose to work with people is, who's the human you go to?
Who's the human you go to?
Because if you can't give me that answer, then we better figure out who that human is, because everybody needs somebody. We are lucky enough to have this thing called the World Wide Web, you know, where you can research and get information and see what's available locally. There is a great resource guide that's now available on the Columbia Memorial mental health clinic site that actually has a chat GPT where you can type in your needs and it will give you resources that for whatever that is in the human service world. So I think you can walk down a lot of streets. We all have religious organizations in our communities, and whether you belong to that religious organization or not, somebody's going to help you there. You know, so it's really important just to know that you're not alone. And it seems like such a cliche statement. You know, we see it when we go across the bridge here, right? The Rip Van Winkle Bridge. There's the big lit up DOT sign that says you're not alone. And I know, like I said, it sounds cliche, but it's so true. And the people that I have been so privileged to work with in these two counties, it's evident that they're here to help people. Whether that's substance use, whether that's mental health, it doesn't matter. People are available to do that for you.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure everybody is aware of this new excellent resource that's focused on the Twin Counties. It's called the Columbia and Greene County Behavioral Health Resource Guide Chatbot. This is, I believe, years in the making. It finally came out maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah, there were previous resource guides available, but they were paper and printed. And as we all know, it's not always easy to get your hands on something like that as the general public. As service providers, we all share it with one another. But this really is a resource that you can access, again, through the web, and it has that AI feature that you can type in what your need is in these two counties, and the resources that will have those are available.
You can either go from search terms that they recommend, or you can make your own. There's
Correct.
Categories like mental health, treatment, medical services, housing, food, transportation, community and social services, financial and legal assistance even. It's a lot more thorough than you might imagine. So we're happy to have that.
I think if we, you know, want to bring awareness to mental health, I think that stigma, you know, our first radio show was about stigma. And I think mental health is one of those things that there's a lot of stigma attached to it. I think there's some pretty negative connotations towards people that have been diagnosed with a mental health disorder, just as bad as those who have been diagnosed with a substance use disorder. You know, I know we spoke about the stigma around substance use, and you know, words such as crazy and they're psycho.
Cuckoo.
Yeah. These are all just as harmful. These words are just as harmful and negative as those words that are spoken about with people with substance use disorder.
Yeah. Words are powerful and they can perpetuate stereotypes.
Yeah. And people with mental health disorders have all the same experiences, if not more than people with substance use disorder. It's hard to walk in the door. They may not know they need to walk in the door and receive help because of the crisis that they're under. And I think that, again, that empathy and compassion for those that are in need is heavily required during this time when we are reflecting on Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm. Yeah, a couple of thoughts there. So, yeah, first of all, we talked about this in the last two episodes, putting oneself in the shoes of somebody who has to work up the courage to finally come in and ask for help.
Yeah.
Whether it's for mental health or substance use disorder, remembering how difficult that is. Also remembering that you never know what somebody's been through.
Correct.
Also going back to when we were talking about words that perpetuate stigma and shame and embarrassment. Tara, I even think about this term that a lot of people will still say it, like, oh, well, this person needs professional help, which I think is interesting now. When you talk to younger people,
and that's a bad thing?
Yeah,
oh my
yeah, well,
goodness.
Right. Yeah, it's a funny thing, right? If you tell that to a lot of people that are younger,
yeah,
they're like, well, so what? Well, that's great, right? Where mental health isn't as much of stigma to it.
No. Yeah. And I think just even myself, when I sought out mental health counseling due to some traumas that had happened to me within the past 5 years, and somebody working in the field, it was really hard to tell my story to a therapist. Because
why was it hard?
Because being in this field, You think that you can solve your own problems.
And I've experienced this too. You feel almost like a failure for not being able to.
Almost hypocritical. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I had to really think about that and say to myself, well, you're being a hypocrite by not getting help for yourself if you're telling somebody else that they need to go get help.
I've had the same experience, Tara. It goes from feeling hypocritical to almost, I'll speak for myself, almost feeling ashamed that I would think that. Yeah. So I'm superhuman or something.
You know, and this is a real thing. Our first responders, you know, our veterans, our peers here in the human service world, we are sometimes the last people that seek out help because we are the helpers, and therefore we're weaker because we're seeking out help. So it is difficult. So that's my reflection for this month, really, is, you know, to make people aware that your life is going to throw you some really hard lessons. And sometimes you need to talk to somebody that's not related to you.
Mm.
You need to talk to that person that can reflect back and give you therapy without judgment or emotions attached to it, because that's their job.
Terry, you're making me think about, there was a time 10 years ago where my life was absolutely upside down. And it was the first time I ever reached out and finally realized, oh my goodness, I actually need to talk to a neutral party, someone besides my friend or my family about this. What? And I did. I called around and I had little, it was like speed dating. You know, talked to a bunch of people within my network and my health insurance. Lucky to have health insurance.
Yeah,
and when I finally found somebody that I vibed with, I would see them every week for a whole year, and it helped me so much get through what I needed to go through for that year. But I was thinking about, okay, so why does that work? Why does that work where you're just talking to someone else? And what I came up with, and I'd be interested to hear what you think about this, what your take is, Tara, is that I was in a situation where I could articulate what I was going through to somebody who was actively listening. I would listen to things coming out of my mouth and being surprised and realizing that the process of bringing these things out in the open via words, that alone, I was surprised how good it felt and how much of the healing seems to come from just simply articulating one's feelings.
Oh, absolutely. And it takes a lot of training, and it takes a lot of skill from our therapists that provide this to us. It is an art form within itself.
That's beautiful.
You know, therapy is something that the person that is providing it has to be skilled to reflect back that active listening that you were saying, and be able to steer you in a direction that you're making your own decisions and they're not making those decisions for you.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, Dr. Ruth, and we're not getting advice. You know what I mean? That is not what therapy is. And sometimes that's what people walk into therapy thinking it is. It's not. It's to make you better. It's just like taking a vitamin.
Well, so we will see you in 2 weeks. We have to sign off now, but we want to end with some songs that relate to mental health in one way or another that Tara and I picked out. And you've been listening to Prevention on Point Pop here on WGXC. ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here, Tara.
Thanks, Brian. Have a happy, healthy month of May.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here on Prevention on Point, we like to share music that is recommended by me or my co-host, Tara Eldred, or one of our guests. Usually music that is in one way or another related to mental health, recovery, relationships, or just plain inspiration. Last show, we were lucky to have the director of Greener Pathways Outreach Program, Bob Hoyt, on our show as a guest, talking about the important work that peer recovery advocates do for those in our community seeking recovery or in recovery or that are in active recovery from substance abuse. And lucky to have Bob recommend the song, which we're going to play right now. Bob, do you have any particular, we like to play music on here specifically that has anything to do with recovery. Is there anything that sticks with you?
Oh, yeah. So music actually was a big part of my recovery, especially the early days. You know, cool. something I got reacquainted with, something I had forgotten that I liked, right?
Yeah.
So music. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped me daydream and just kind of get on with my day. Recently, I've been listening to this song called Live Well by Palace. And it's just kind of this upbeat. It's got a good message to it. It's just a really beautiful kind of fun song that I've been listening to a lot lately. So I think you guys would enjoy it.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Yeah,
Appreciate that.
Here we go. We're going to listen to Live Well by the band Palace.
Palace, correct.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob.
Something I'm nothing, we were everything, anything, same.
And the other song we wanted to share this week on Prevention on Point as part of Mental Health Awareness Month and also National Prevention Week is a song written by Steve Winwood at age 21, actually, and first released by Blind Faith on their 1969 self-titled album. I love that particular version of the song too, but wow, this marvelously raw and intimate version by a young Bonnie Raitt, recorded in 1972, as she was performing it live in front of a small audience in Philadelphia. The concert was then broadcast by local radio station WMMR. You can find this track on the highly recommended album called Lost Broadcast, along with 14 other songs. I'm a huge fan of stripped down recordings of great songs by great musicians, and this one's definitely on the top shelf for me. I hope you enjoy it. Apparently, Steve Winwood never spoke about the origin or meaning of the song. He said, quote, "When I write a song, I don't like to explain it afterwards. To me, it's like telling a joke, then having to explain it. The explanation doesn't add to the song at all. Anyway, I hope you'll find something from it."
This is Stevie Winwood's song.
If you're in crisis or need support, you can call the National Suicide and Crisis Hotline at 988. And we welcome your feedback.
Yeah, these are really important topics that might trigger people. So that 988 hotline is really important, and we'll be giving that out in each show. But if you'd like to talk to us directly, you can email us at TaraE, that's T-A-R-A-E, at TwinCountyRecoveryServices.org. Or, and Brian at Brian Z, B BRYANZ at TwinCountyRecoveryServices.org.